CMO Combo is back with you for another deep dive into what CMOs need to know to succeed. We're joined by Maruna Dragomir, CMO of Planable, and we're tackling the big, sort of scary subject of marketing attribution. Can you attribute everything? How can you be transparent while still managing expectations? At what stage should you be training your marketing teams to focus on attribution? And what does all this mean for your role as a CMO? Hi, Maruna. Welcome to CMO Combo. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm good. I'm good. Happy to be here.
I'm happy you're here too, because it's a subject that is going to be very pressing on the minds of many CMOs, and that's about marketing attribution, because it seems like everything has to be attributable these days. Is everything attributable? We don't know. Well, I'm hoping you know, because we're going to be having that conversation today. But before we do get down into that, maybe you could introduce yourself to our audience. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Miruna. I'm currently the CMO of Planable, which is a social media collaboration platform for teams. And yeah, I've been here for 4 years almost, so quite a journey so far. And I've joined in the very early stages, so you know, it's been a roller coaster of a role that shifted with the company growth. So that's been very exciting. Awesome.
And joining at such an early time makes attribution even more important than it does in sort of like larger organizations, because you have to count the cost of literally every single thing you do. But what do we mean by that? Like, what do we mean by marketing attribution? Like, what? Let's give a definition to our audience, because I'm sure many of them are familiar with it, but it's worthwhile make clearing up what we're talking about in this episode.
Yeah, for sure. So I think, you know, marketing attribution basically means that you as a team or as a marketer can have that ability to look at your audience from the lens of your funnel or growth loop or whatever it is that you use most. And that means, you know, it doesn't only mean that you are able to place it in the funnel or look at it go. It means that you're able to stop at any macro or micro moment throughout that funnel and see how that impacts, you know, the conversion or the path or the behavior or the LTV churn, whatever other metric that you measure. And it also means that audience can be segmented. It can be split into channels. And you're able to have the exact same lens. So yeah, it means that, you know, you have this entire ability to look at data, not only from the big perspective, but to go as granular as possible.
And then being able to go granular like that is super important. You mentioned segmentation. That's obviously a huge benefit when it comes to marketing and doing hyper-targeted ads. But are there any other benefits that we need to think about when it comes to marketing attribution?
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest benefit of them all is the fact that in an ideal world, if you would have all your traffic, all your leads attributed to an experiment, a campaign that you did or a channel, then you would be able to optimize everything to perfection. You could cut your losses very soon if you are doing something that's not working. You could double down on everything that's working really well. So that would, in theory, mean that you could reach this perfect marketing in a short time just based on that attribution.
Excellent. And that's not just important to the marketing department, it's really beneficial to other departments. It allows you to show other departments what's going well, how you're having major impact, say on sales. It allows you to show the CFO what kind of actions that can be taken, and you're able to show like the effects on the bottom line, which is going to be extremely important to be able to get them on side for projects, I assume.
Yeah, it can get your a budget increase fast. It can get your scale, and that means, you know, the scaling and the growth of the company. Especially if it's a company that relies on marketing growth, it can be a game changer for sure.
Definitely. And so, what kinds of activities are currently easily attributable for CMOs? We're going to dive into some of the ones that aren't so easy. But what are the ones that we can say this is stuff you can attribute pretty simply?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's the natural ones are obviously ads and online ads. But that, I mean, so performance marketing, that can mean search ads or Google display campaigns or Facebook ads, any kind of social media ads, really. Those are the easiest to attribute, even though I would kind of put a small disclaimer here, because this also has a but to it, because, you know, the theory in ads that's been out there for a while is to kind of use your channels as a funnel themselves. So to warm up the audience on Instagram and then double down on Google Display and then, you know, to attract them with content at first, but then give them product, all that kind of way of looking at your tactics as though they address different parts of the funnel. That is something that I think is the technology is not as much there as these theories would lead you to believe, because it's not that easy to target that one person with an ebook on Facebook and then with something else on, you know, Google Display. Yeah. So it has a lot of buts.
Just trying to track them across different channels has got to be really difficult, particularly since a lot of those channels don't want you to be sharing data across different channels like that. Like Facebook wants to keep their data on Facebook. LinkedIn wants to keep their data on LinkedIn. So being able to track them across multiple channels and but that is what you have to do with an omni-channel experience. You have to be able to track like that. So that's got to be a major challenge for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it is all the time. And I think, you know, part of the what makes this frustrating is that sometimes there is this disconnect between what you read as a theory and what you should do, but then you face the inability to do that. And you're like, wait, what is going on? Why are all these people promoting these theories that are basically not doable until, you know, I mean, they are applicable, but just not in that 100% accuracy than some of us might expect.
Yeah, because theories are theories at the end of the day. Yeah. They're not based entirely on the reality of the circumstances that you might be dealing with. And it's got to be especially difficult because those theories, your CEO could be reading those theories, your CRO could be reading those theories, and they're like, why isn't the theory matching the reality? Why? What are you doing wrong with this process? So that's got to be difficult.
Exactly.
Yeah. So those are the things that we can attribute. What are the things that are really, really, well, I'm not going to say impossible to attribute, but like, what are the kinds of things that are very, very difficult to attribute? Like, I assume things that, like brand marketing, for example, how do you attribute like the benefits of brand building activities?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't say there are a lot of tech. I'm not that kind of, you know, believer that there's no attribution whatsoever or that there's very little you can attribute. I think there's actually the opposite is true. There are not a lot of tactics that you simply can't look at data at all. But they come, each of them comes through with a grade, let's say a score for how attributable they are. So, you know, it's event marketing. A lot of it is not attributable just because, you know, it doesn't work as human behavior doesn't work like that. So I think in order, I would explain these tactics that are not attributable for two reasons. Either it's just human behavior. It doesn't work like that. You can go to the event and ask people to, you know, give you their QR code on the badge or whatever, or give them discount codes and expect them to look at your website that way or purchase that way, or you can put QR codes on your booth and expect people to check out your website that way. But human behavior probably doesn't work like that in a lot of those cases. So most people just see a brand name, they see the motto or whatever, the USP, and they think, okay, I'll just Google that. And they might remember it in a totally different conversation 1 month later. You're not going to attribute that particular visit. So that's one reason, the human behavior, that I think is the problem for a lot of these. So podcasts, for example, that you think, you know, I'll give a discount code, make an ad, people are going to use that discount code. It depends. I mean, for us, for example, we have a free plan until they reach the purchasing point in their journeys. I'm sure they forget all about that discount code. So it's not an easy way. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the second reason is that, you know, just tech doesn't really work like that, as we've said, or it fails you. Like, you know, the direct traffic, which I think is a huge, it can be a huge issue for a lot of CMOs and marketing teams, just because you see such a big chunk of your traffic come from a direct source. And there's just, you have no idea where they came from. And you can guess, of course, you can think, well, I'm in these lists on the front page that seem to take me to the direct traffic, or I went to that event and I saw a big spike there, so that's probably my direct traffic. But you don't know for sure.
Yeah, gone. Sorry, Marina, go on. Yeah, you had some more to say there. Sorry, did you?
Yeah, no, it's just you can make these guesses, but you won't be able to look at that event or that website that put my banner up. So that's got to be it. You're never going to know.
Yeah, definitely. Especially since the buying cycle can be so long, particularly in B2B, that you could have planted that seed like months before they're even ready to move in market. Like you might not ever be able to get to the source of when they actually, your brand came onto their radar. And that's got to be something that's very difficult for marketers to explain to other stakeholders, to be able to make them understand that we can do these things now, and it might not be ready in months. You might not be able to attribute things for months or even years in some cases.
Yeah, for sure. It's a tough thing to explain without making it look like you're excusing your own, I don't know, lack of success or anything. And it's difficult to ask for patience as well in this very fast climate that we live in, right? We all want exponential growth in a matter of months. So when you say, but we don't know whether it works or not in order to double down on it, then you obviously face impatience. Because, and it's not just, I don't want to put this into the CMO and the evil stakeholders lens, because just not each and every one of us has their own ways of looking at things and our own perception. So it's normal for the other members of the organization to want things fast. I want things fast. It's just sometimes it's not that easy to do.
But let's talk about those kinds of conversations you can have to sort of, you said not to make excuses. Let's say manage expectations then on like how these kinds of non-attributable marketing activities can go. Like how do you explain to stakeholders that you might not be able to see the benefits in for months? How do you explain it in terms that they'll appreciate, let's not say understand, because they're all smart people, they understand what they're doing, but that they'll appreciate and that has value to them as stakeholders?
Yeah, exactly. I understand. So I think the first thing is for you to decide your own position on that tactic or on that question. Do you believe in it 100% or 90%? Are you almost sure that it's working, even if it's unattributable? If you are, then you know, you can try to find. So for attribution, for science to work, we all know about causality, right? So that's what attribution kind of does. It shows you exactly what you did that caused someone to do something. That is the gold, but you can sometimes use correlation. It's not great. It's not scientific. You should not abuse it, but it is a potential way to show that something is working. And if you eliminate as many other factors that could impact those numbers, you know, like, for example, you've got an event that you're going to attend and have a booth and everything, and that happens in mid-March, and you have 5 years of data that shows mid-March never ever means anything different for your data. You don't have a spike, you don't have anything else that's happening. So that means that you could, in theory, show that if you get that spike, it's probably from the event. Correlation is one way to do things, again, as long as you don't abuse it in the sense that you run a campaign. I've seen this case study run, you know, for a company, and the marketing team always did this major campaign during Christmas, and they used correlation to justify it, just because, you know, how great numbers are around Christmas because we run these campaigns. But it is Christmas, people do go on a shopping spree. So is it the campaigns, or would they just naturally come? And then there's another option. If you yourself doubt it, or if there's the correlation can't help you, you can always experiment with not doing something, stopping something that you do recurrently, do it in a controlled, as much controlled as you can. So, you know, if you do 10 things that are not trackable at the moment, stop them one by one, wait for a couple of months, see how that impacts. And I would add here that how that impacts growth would be my natural word. But before it gets to growth, you could have a long journey, like you said. So you can look at traffic, you can look at mentions, you can look at your brand search traffic. For example, you can choose the right metric that you think the tactic influences the most, and see how that goes. If you yourself doubt it, then you should feel comfortable with just stopping it for a while and see what happens.
It's an interesting idea, like stopping things to see what's working. Like that's an interesting approach to take, rather than just like throwing in new stuff to see what happens. Like actually doing a bit of an audit over the process that you have going on. I feel this would be a very, very useful exercise for a lot of CMOs, but particularly for stuff that costs money. Like if you're spending a lot of money on something that's not attributable, then stop it and see if it's actually making a difference. That could be very effective. And I'm sure your CFO would appreciate you taking those kinds of steps as well.
Yeah, I mean, we actually did this at some point. We, you know, again, I joined very early stage. So at the beginning, I wouldn't say we had a lot of attributable leads. I mean, we didn't have our analytics put in place that well at the beginning. Obviously, you know, we're just starting out. We had a few visits. So it wasn't even a question of priority at that time. And then it was a long journey until we got our analytics in order. That in itself took a while, in which time we obviously did a lot of things. So once we had analytics, and once time passed enough for us to have some historical data, and we looked at it, one thing that I felt like this is for sure working, this is bringing our entire growth, didn't really seem like it did. It seemed like it was, we were, you know, doing it, and we were spending not a lot of money, because we weren't spending a lot of money on anything back then, but we spent a lot of time, and we were like 2-3 people in the marketing team. That was extremely important. So it was, at first it hit me emotionally, because, you know, my first thoughts were, okay, so it's not attributable. Obviously it's just one of those things in which people talk about it. So you gain awareness, and then people talk about it while sitting at coffee or whatever, or they send the link via Slack or something. And after that they come, because customers are coming. So they have to be coming from somewhere, and, you know, through that kind of logic. But then I stopped it. I did not stop it entirely, but I made it a lot more straightforward. I said, okay, we need to cut our efforts into this, since it seems like it's not working. We need to put in like 10% of what we were putting in until now. And then, you know what, we'll see how that goes. And we'll make them, after about 6 months of not doing it at all, we said, okay, maybe we just need to think about how we're doing it, how well it was even thought of in terms of, you know, what it should attract, how the promotion tactics, all of that.
It kind of goes back to what we're talking about, like putting theories into actual practice, because you might see all these like think pieces online, all these thought leadership pieces talking about certain processes that you should be doing and how effective they can be. And if you put them in place, you might think, oh yeah, we'll see results eventually. But then you have to actually test if you're not taking those processes, if you're not doing that. So I think that's a really, really interesting approach for sure. So one thing you mentioned that intrigued me earlier was the tech not being there for certain things when it comes to attribution. is that like to change in the future, particularly with like AI models and stuff like that? If you can pump enough data into an AI process on a large enough scale over a large enough amount of time, surely you'd be able to attribute everything. You'd be able to track and plan out everyone's movements. Do you think that's on the horizon for marketers? Do you think that's going to be available for us in a few years?
I think, you know, if you asked me a year ago, I'd probably say, hell yeah. Now with this, I think in the next period of time, we'll see a constant battle between attributable marketing or, you know, personalization or whatever you want to call it and privacy, because that's something that is huge right now. And a lot of measures are being taken to enhance privacy, and that is already impacting marketing. So, and even if there are some things that I cannot believe that they were accessible such a while back, you know, such as knowing, for example, back in, I don't know what year this changed, but at some point you could, as a marketer, see from what keyword exactly each visitor got to your website, which I now think that's science fiction. I would love to see that. But then, you know, with all the privacy measures that were taken, that's now no longer a thing. It's not accessible for organic traffic, at least. So that's, you know, that came after. So that wasn't an advanced, and it was, I mean, the technology is definitely there, but it's not possible to see it. So I think this will continue seeing this kind of battle between privacy and the need for attribution. And there, for every privacy measure that will be taken, we'll see some sort of workaround. And it's more like a chase of trying to fill out both needs.
Yeah, it's a bit of an arms race in some respect. Like, mm-hmm. you see, like all the, like, I remember in sort of like the dark days of social media marketing, and the amount of data we could see on followers, on like potential prospects, on all kinds of things, being able to do targeted ads and super duper targeted. Like, you could go down to individual streets to do that kind of level of targeting, which was obviously super beneficial for certain elections, but we won't dive into that. I can't see us returning to that kind of level. But in terms of like macro data, in terms of like first party data, I could see new ways of applying that in the ways that make it a lot easier to attribute certainly things that we don't think is attributable at the moment. Like, to see like stuff like placements of billboards, for example, we'll be able to map that to how it's affecting sales. We'll be able to create proper sophisticated AI models around placing ads in certain places. Like, and it's going to be very interesting in terms of like how we think about certain activities, like how we think about certain activities being a cost as well to businesses. I think it's going to be a big benefit to CMOs, but also to the CROs and other stakeholders having that kind of ability to do that.
Yeah, I think we'll for sure see improvements. I don't think that's a question. There are still things that are impossible right now with anonymous data, that you don't even need the actual, you know, any kind of private information. You just need a unique ID. That's it. Just to match your audience on different channels, like we started at this conversation. That's missing now. So that wouldn't, in theory, I mean, maybe. I don't know if that would cross a lot of privacy boundaries.
Well, especially with new privacy boundaries, not just coming from governments, but also from tech providers, like Google's getting rid of third party cookies. Like that's a huge thing, like, because that dominated digital marketing for a long time, having access to that kind of data. So do you think there'll be more of that in the future? Are we going to lose access to like any other kind of targeting in the future in that kind of battle for privacy, or are we at like a happy medium at the moment, do you think?
I definitely think something we'll lose some stuff along the way. I think that's normal, but you know, you can take refuge in testing yourself. So, you know, I think what we'll lose will definitely be a part of historical data, or, you know, how people behave after you've done something. But you also have, you'll always have the possibility to experiment. I don't think that will all go away at any point in time. So that means that you'll still be able to A/B test anything. And that should give you the answer even before you run that tactic.
For sure, for sure. So let's talk a bit about sort of like the processes needed to make sure the attribution is clear across the board in the business. Like what kind of feedback loops do you need set up? What kind of processes do you need? What kind of automated processes do you need to make sure that the data is being shared across the right places? Like, do you have like those kinds of systems in place at Planable?
Yeah, we make sure that we focus on some metrics, just because, you know, everyone knows how crazy it can get if you let all the metrics overwhelm you. And we always look at some business metrics that we commonly agreed on are best to reflect what we're interested in as a company, right? And I feel like that's important, just because in SaaS, for example, there are, I think, about 10 ways to look at churn. And that's only the 10 ways that I've heard about. I'm sure there are hundreds if you talk to different people. As a company, you need to have everyone aligned into how you look at churn in a recurrent manner, right? Obviously, every other quarter, you can look at this new metric that you've discovered, for sure. But recurrently, it's important to align. And another thing that we do is we have questions come up all the time, right? People ask, how about, why didn't we do this? Or how is that working? Or could this be true? You know, people doing something for some reason. We actually always write those questions down and we try to always come back with data. And the way we do that, it takes time. A lot of these questions take time, but and it depends on the team. But for example, I am very passionate and a geek about diving into data as recurrently as possible. And I made it my mission to keep that beautiful part as part of my job. So what I do is that I block a couple of hours each Tuesday, and I call them my Tuesday data deep dive. And I take each of those questions, I write them down. And in that block of time that I keep to myself, I explore them. And I think that's also, you know, it's important because a lot of these questions remain unanswered in different points in time. And it also builds confidence within the company that everyone's transparent, everyone wants the truth. That's something that I feel data gives you. If everyone trusts the data to a respectable amount, then you gain that true sense of, you know, community. We're all here for the same goal. We all look at the same data. We all interpret it, obviously. We give ourselves arguments in any debate, but we trust the same thing. We don't keep the battle only in subjective arguments.
Mm-hmm. When it came to selecting those metrics and getting everyone aligned, like who were the most important people to have in the room in that respect? Like who are the chief people that you worked with to select the metrics that were important?
For me personally, I think the leadership team should be aligned on the business metrics always. On the marketing metrics, the marketing team should understand them, and it should be clear how they tie with their own key results or objectives. Mm-hmm. So that's something that is very easy. It's very easy to determine what you look at once you have the key result in your face. So, okay, so what we do want to do, increase organic traffic. Okay, so then we'll look at our SEO metrics and at our organic traffic. So that's something that's a lot more easy to align. The awesome. Business metrics should be a debate, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. So when it comes to the team, actually, let's talk about that. Like how are you training your team to think about attributable marketing? Like are you training them from like right from the start? You've got to think about attribution all the way through. Or is there a certain stage in their development where you start talking to them about like proper attribution when it comes to marketing?
I think it's less, I mean, I don't make the conversation about attribution necessarily. I always just make it about the logic of it all, the strategic thinking rather. So it's always, when we have those debates on creativity or on some ideas, I always ask the questions about what's the goal behind that? What's the strategy? What are we trying to achieve? Okay, is there a better way to achieve this than your idea? Is there a faster way? Is it the, anyway, that's how I challenge myself and everyone in the team with these kinds of questions. So that, I think that automatically gets you some sort of deep mindset that you have to know why you're doing anything that you're doing, and you have to be able to know the results of that. And that ability to know the results is basically the attribution.
So you're sort of planting the seeds and how they should be thinking about things, rather than scaring some poor junior marketer who's fresh out of university with all these like facts and figures. Like you're putting them into the right mindset while they're developing as a marketer, rather than being like, yes, you have to pay attention to the bottom line, you have to make this move 1 point upwards every time you do a marketing activity. So it's more about, it's more of an organic process, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it starts in the onboarding, the first day. So there's this tradition that I, without a particular plan to it, it just happened naturally. And the first few meetings in which I try to explain them, the new team members, what we're doing as a team, and marketing, why we're doing it. I have this thing in which I always need a piece of paper and a pen, and I draw this kind of sort of mind map or whatever, lines and circles, and we do SEO because this is part of the acquisition tactic, and then the acquisition relates to conversion because this and this and that. And always end the conversation after I draw the funnel, and then we explain each tactic through the funnel. So it's also about explaining how you lead that team, how you think of the strategy. That transparency of your own strategic thinking is inspiring in itself, I think. I mean, this sounds a bit like I'm tooting my own horn, but so I've been told.
No, I really like that approach because it's showing them how certain marketing activities affect other things to do with the business, things to do within the marketing department, also with the business at large. Like, how does marketing impact sales? How does marketing impact products? So giving them that awareness at a very early stage is going to be beneficial to them, their development in the future, and to become marketing leaders like yourself, hopefully in the future.
Yeah. Hopefully it helps, but I've been told it gives you that kind of foundation that you need at the beginning, just because if you go into the details and then on day one you show them how to, I don't know, do a very specific task, you lose that overview that it will be, I think, more complicated to build after 3 months into the job or after 6 months. Just give them a glimpse of the foundation so that they can put blocks on top of something.
Definitely. And it's going to be incredibly important now, particularly, I don't know what the working situation is for you, Maruna, but with more and more people working remotely, it's very easy to feel siloed in the marketing mm-hmm. department. It's very easy to feel that you're just working away at your individual thing. It might be social media, it might be email, without having that broader perspective of how it affects the company. But if you're speaking to them right from the beginning, that they're position within the larger whole, then they've got that perspective all the way through. So starting with that earlier, it's got to be very effective. And it's the same when it comes to attribution, when it comes to higher level stuff, when you're stepping into a new CMO role, being able to explain clearly how marketing affects different parts of the business is going to make you a more effective CMO.
Yeah, that's definitely what I'm aiming for.
It sounds like you're on the right track, Maruna. Thank you very much for speaking to us today. It's been a really great conversation. As I said, marketing attribution, it's always going to be on the mind of CMOs and marketers as a whole, because that's what the rest of the business wants for us. And I hope this conversation has put some fears to rest about certain things not being attributable and vice versa. Thank you very much for listening to us today. I'm sure you've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it. And we'll be back soon with some more CMO combos.
Thanks, Will, for having me.